When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's time to tell our Pod Meets World listeners that if you're currently tuning in via headphones, it's time you take audio seriously and join the JLab family.
JLab offers incredible sound for all of life's moments.
It's tech done better. Consumers deserve better than the same old tech they've been stuck with.
Instead of high price tags, everyone should have access to new innovations and products they actually want. So JLab thought, hey, why not do something about it?
What are you waiting for? Get out there and join the JLab family.
JLab.com. JLab, your kind of tech.
So, one of the things that's fun about living so close to Danielle is that we tend to go places everywhere. If we have to be at the same place together, it makes sense we hop in the same car. Danielle normally drives. And the conversations we've realized between all three of us are just endless. We just
so ridiculous.
For some reason, it's like now we're trying to run out of stuff to say because we could use the
break.
We
literally stop recording and keep talking.
Yeah,
like,
keep
I noticed when we were at breakfast, we kept going. It was no one's even recording or filming us. And it's just like it never stopped.
Yeah. So and the conversations go all over the place. So this one started where she was talking about Keaton waking up because Keaton at the time was kind of battling a little bit of a fever.
Yeah.
And she's like, he felt great when we woke up in the morning. You know, he wanted to wrestle right away and we were playing Hulk, but he's got this little fever and little stuff. And I said, well, you realize if, you know, maybe he's turning into the actual Hulk, has he been exposed to any gamma radiation? To which then Danielle kind of says, what? And I get to spend the next 15 minutes really explaining the backstory of Dr. Bruce Banner and the Hulk.
Bruce Banner.
Yeah, it wasn't the gamma rays that confused me. You said, what if he, because he could be smart Hulk. And I said,
right.
What? What's smart Hulk?
Yeah.
And then we had a great conversation about smart Hulk.
Well, the thing that was so funny was that you were telling me that you had kind of like the basic Hulk story that you read your kid. And she's like, so no, I read him a story and it's Hulk green, Hulk angry.
Yeah.
Hulk. And it's like, oh no, there's so much more. But then in the perfect Danielle-ism, right when she finished telling the story, she's like, but the Dr. Bruce Banner in the book is hot.
He's hot. Oh yeah.
It's Hottie McCotter.
It's a real simple comic book for like the earliest readers. So literally the book goes, Hulk is green. Hulk is strong. Hulk is a good person. He likes
Hulk
to save people.
Hulk
then
is sexy,
it's like
glasses.
Gets to the Bruce Banner story where we find out how he became the Hulk. And I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
Bruce Banner, huh?
Oh,
Danielle wants to wake up to find those purple shorts on her floor. I'm telling you.
But this is where I get so overwhelmed with comic mythology. It's so dense and there's so many layers. Like, did you actually read comics when you were a kid, Will? Like, is that where it started?
Or I didn't. But I read mythology. Don't you remember? Like,
of course.
Was,
no,
Hamilton,
I know.
Is that the famous mythology book that everybody reads in school? And then I just dove into. But that's what comic books are. It's American mythology.
Absolutely.
I mean, so it's. But no, I didn't start comic book reading till later.
So you, okay, but you do you read comics now, or is it mostly like cartoons, movies?
It's cartoons, movies, and right. the lore like that. But if somebody right. says to me, like, you've got to read this, you know, this group Edition of comics, then I'll jump right. in and I'll read. I've always wanted to do X-Men from the beginning. But depending on who you ask, there's 90 different versions you're supposed to read.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, I don't know, second or third grade, we got pen pals at another school, you know? And so we were like, and I became pen pals with this kid, and he was like really into X-Men. I decided, like, oh, I'm gonna get into X-Men. And then I just got so lost. I had yeah. no idea where to start. It was like, do I go to 60s X-Men? Do I go to 80s X-Men? Do I do the cartoons? It was like, yeah. oh my God.
It's overwhelming.
And I mean, now, of course, this is kind of standard. Like, I feel like there must be like lists online of like, there start
are.
Here.
Yeah, there are. And it's where you can start and where you can go and do all that stuff. But any opportunity I get to nerd out to Danielle is yeah. a lot of fun, because she's like, what is Smart Hulk? I'm like, okay. So Dr. Bruce Banner realized that the balance, the whole fun was that he was trying to get rid of the Hulk his entire life to just go back to be Bruce Banner. But what turns out is the best part was adding Bruce Banner to the Hulk.
Yeah.
So he always walks around as Hulk now, but he's Smart Hulk. She's like, oh God. So yeah, whenever I can.
And I love
nerd
it because
out.
Now with my boys, I want to know all of it so that I can participate in it with them, you know,
yeah.
whereas before I'd be like, okay, whatever. Well, cool yeah. story about Smart Hulk.
It reaches a saturation point. Trust me.
Oh, like, yeah,
sure.
I got, you know, Indy went through a Star Wars phase. He, like, now he can't stand Star Wars. You just go through like months of
oh, yeah.
everything is this one thing. And so luckily Will came to my brother's house for brunch when he was going through like his heavy lightsaber. It was not just Star Wars. It was very specific lightsaber. And I saw Will and Indy just start getting into the yeah. different colored lightsabers.
Well,
and I was
yeah.
like, thank God he has Will. Because he would always ask me, he's like, well, what are white lightsabers? What kind of crystals makes the red lightsaber? What
yeah.
And I was like, and Will was just like, oh, well, he's a Sith Lord who came from this planet and the Kyber crystals from this. And if you're talking a yellow lightsaber, those are only this order of Jedi. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God.
I know.
Fine, great.
Yes,
but I'm not, I can only, my patience only goes so far. Like,
oh, I love it.
Do you want to talk Shakespeare?
Well, Ryder, I'd actually like to know more about your pen pal. Did your pen pal know you were, like, who you were? Did you guys know each other?
No, this was like second or third grade. So this
oh,
is really
okay.
early on. Yeah, this is before I was acting.
But so either. Did you, like, it was just like a neighboring school? Like a neighborhood
Yeah, it was like
thing?
Our school got paired up with another school in another city, another town somewhere. I have no idea.
But
it was
in
Northern California. Yeah, it was still in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've only really had like two pen pals. It was that. And then Aaron Metchik, who was on our show,
yeah.
was in another production of Les Mis. And he and I started writing letters back to each other while we were doing Les Mis, because he was in a different production. And I saw him. I had lunch with him like a couple months ago. It was so
oh, that's
great.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
he runs an acting studio now for kids, actually, in LA and then San Luis Obispo, which is where he's from. And so he started this acting studio there, and then he opened it up down here. So I think I'm going to go visit his school and like
oh,
meet his students
great.
And stuff. But it was so good to see him.
When you were younger, did your class ever do, when it was still okay to release balloons, did you ever do writing the notes on balloons and then letting the balloon go? And then
no.
months later, you'd get a letter from somebody going, I'm in Michigan and I found your balloon. Yeah, it was so
really?
Cool. Yeah.
You actually got a letter back? I feel like we did that and then just never heard, and you
we
know, some
did.
Bird
It was
died
like a
somewhere.
Message in a bottle, you know? It was totally neat.
But how do you guide where the balloons land? How'd you,
That's
how
the point.
Would
you
end
just
up
let
with
just,
one?
It was like message in a bottle. You just
And you would really ever come up with one?
Yeah. And they I remember it was probably third grade. She's like, we got two letters back from the balloons we released. Here's one from Rhode Island and here's one from wherever. They just go on the wind and somebody picks them up and writes back like, hi, I'm a student.
Right.
And I was just wondering if you find this, please write
See,
me
See,
in back.
The East Coast, it actually would work because there are enough towns and like,
right.
you know, there's enough density that you could your balloon would actually reach somewhere. Maybe your teacher was just...
I think they were lying.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I hope
I think they made
Mrs.
those
Daniels
letters
wasn't
up.
Lying to me. My life would not be the same.
I know. I'm sorry to put that thought in your head, but well, I'm just happy that Ryder's pen pal relationship turned out better than mine, who ended up being the creepy guy pretending
Prisoner.
To be a girl. That's the only pen pal I've ever had.
Yeah.
That ruined pen pals for
it
me.
Did. It turned you off of pen pals from that moment.
But you know
I
what? I could
that.
Probably release a balloon to Will's house. I could drop notes.
How you,
to Will.
We just drone it at this point. I just send Danielle stuff by drone. I think that would be better.
We do have a drone, so I could send one
do
to
you.
Do
you? Oh, jeez.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fischel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Welcome to today's episode. We are recapping season 4, episode 17, A Long Walk to Pittsburgh, part 2. It originally aired Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1997.
Wow, that's appropriate.
Right?
That makes sense.
The synopsis is that Corey is despondent without Topanga until one rainy evening she shows up on the Matthews doorstep. Now, Corey and Topanga must convince Corey's parents and Topanga's aunt that they are truly in love and belong together in Philadelphia.
Wait, February 14th. Sorry, before you jump in. February wasn't it February sweeps? Wouldn't this have been a sweeps episode?
It had to be a sweeps. It felt
yeah,
like a
it makes
sweeps.
Sense yeah. that this is a sweeps episode. Big guest star, big storyline.
Right.
I think this is probably a sweeps episode.
That was good thinking. A two-parter.
Yep.
It was directed by Jeff McCracken. It was written by Mark Blutman and Howard Busgang. And before I jump into our very special guest star or guest stars, did you guys have any overall feelings about the episode?
I liked it. You know what I liked about it is it. I mean, again, the same thing that happened last week. I thought I was kind of forcing my comedy a little bit.
What?
Not, it was a little big. But I liked how it felt like a play. It felt very contained. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we can get into the whole, they've rewritten the Corey and Topanga saga, obviously, for the episode. And that's a whole thing story-wise. But the actual, you know, the Feeney scene and the parents doing what they do. And I thought Ben was good. So I liked the play aspect of the episode.
Yeah. Writer.
I really, really didn't like this episode.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be the stick in the mud again. Yeah. No, I think this is like a, I mean, you know, we've talked about this a lot, is, you know, how the show changes and like you said, rewrites the Corey Topanga thing. But I feel like this is it's a huge diversion from, or it rewrites the premise of Boy Meets World to me. Like, I just found this so,
it's true.
And, you know, the play factor, I like what you were saying about it being contained, but to me it felt more like pageantry. It felt more like a trial of sorts. Like, weirdly, it felt like this, I don't know. It just, we can get into it as we go through, but like, yeah, I thought this is, you know, this is one of those things, like, there are so many people who probably really love Boy Meets World for the love story, for the Corey Topanga thing. And I feel like this episode is the, like, rewriting the premise of Boy Meets World to lock that in and to make that new central tenet of, and it's been hinted at, it's been talked about, it's been danced around. And I think from now on, we're just in a different show. We're in a show that's about Corey and Topanga's love.
Yes.
And I think for a lot of fans, that is what they love about Boy Meets World. For me, it's not, you know, and I can see that this is the turning point, this episode. And I, you know, for me, that's a big mistake, because I think it, you know, and I'm sure we'll go back to the other version of Boy Meets World and other episodes and stuff.
Right.
But for me, this is a big writing, like, it's a huge, bold choice.
Yes.
And I don't like it. I don't think it's good. I can get into why, but I just think it undermines what I really loved about the first, you know, what we've been watching. Like, there's something so special about Boy Meets World and the approach to the world, and instead now it's a romance, and that's just a different type of story.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm sorry. You go ahead, Danielle.
No, I was going to say, you're right. It is completely rewriting the what feels like we've set up for all 3.5 now seasons of the show. Feels like we're changing the idea of what the show is. But yeah. I actually, and even though I don't necessarily agree with the idea that the big swing is, these two people are supposed to be together, and come hell or high water, they're going to make it work together. While I may not agree, and I feel more like an Amy Matthews in my real life,
right?
There is a part of me that takes, if I take myself out of it, I really just respect and appreciate the big swing and the bold choice. Right. And I recognize how unique it was for its time to do that, to say, what if we're the show that says two people who love each other, no matter how old they are, should fight come hell or high water to be together. And instead of the idea that you should just go and hook up with many different people until you decide to pick one and then settle down, what if it's okay to only love one person and to be with one person? So on the one hand, I personally, Danielle, feel more like Amy. On the other hand, I actually love the idea of taking the freaking risk and taking that move.
Right.
I also think
it's romantic.
But I also think it's perfectly, in a way, it's perfectly in keeping with Boy Meets World, because we've talked about the shifts that the show does all the time, and they're big. It's like Corey's a little kid, and it's about Corey and his home life. And then it shifts, and it's about Sean and his home life. And then it's about Eric and Sean. And now it's about Corey and Topanga. Like, it's one more new shift into what the show is going to be. And it keeps doing it every once in a while, where they just go, all right, now we're going to focus on this. And if we have to rewrite stuff to focus on this, that's what we're going to do. I mean, it was like when they brought in Verna. She was this wacky, funny character that we just heard about, and then we bring her in and we show Sean's home life. And they have to rewrite what Verna was to bring in that character. So now, to show Corey and Topanga, they have to rewrite the history to make it fate, you know, kind of a destiny. And I think it will then culminate in all of us being together at college, where it's like everybody's had their moment, and then we're all kind of an ensemble again back
and
in school.
And it's not too unlike what we talked about earlier for pre-show chatter, the toddler stages, where you go through things where for months it's all about Paw Patrol and then it's all about Power Rangers. When you're a teenager, you go from it's all about your family to it's all about my friends to it's all about my girlfriend.
My love.
Yeah. My love, my girlfriend.
That's interesting, yeah.
And so those phases may last a little longer when you're a teenager, or maybe they don't, than they do in the toddler years. But I feel very much like you know, I had my core group of girlfriends as a teenager, but there was always a different one I was super close to. It was like, yeah, Vanessa and I are BFFs forever. And then 6 months later, it was like you were in a different class with someone else. And now all of a sudden, this person's your BFF. And then, of course, there's the rotating cast of relationships you have. So right, it doesn't feel unlike real life that this has taken this trajectory at 16, 17 years old.
Well, but real life has adjusted.
Yes,
that's the thing for me is like,
it's a big change.
I think the story logic of the show was always, you know, in the title, Boy Meets World. Like, yeah, you know, that the poignancy, the beauty of it was that the show is going to be this magnifying glass on all the small experiences that this 11-year-old, maybe 16-year-old now, kid is having. And so all the experiences of like, thinking he's right or thinking he can change the world, meet up against the world and meet up against Mr. Feeny and detention and whatever the situation is. And then like he pushes back and says, no, the world is this way. And then he learns his lesson and the world maybe adjusts a little bit. Right. And like there's like a little show to shift each way. And we come back next week and he does it all again. Yeah. And like that is what's beautiful is that like the what's been beautiful so far is that the adult world is kind of messy. The kid world is kind of messy. And they're kind of, neither one is like right or winning this argument. And in this one, Corey and Topanga win the argument. It's like, and that is just fundamentally like, oh, now it's boy conquers world, you know, at the end of this episode. And I was like, but wait, that's not the point of the show. The point of the show is that you learn that all those experiences, things that you think are so important are a little not. You're still a kid. And like the show itself makes it important by highlighting and telling that story. But the world of the show doesn't adjust to fit the kid's view. That's like, and in this one, we watch the pillars fall. Like he literally goes, well, she's got to live in the, you know, she's all the way in Pittsburgh. Boom. Topanga shows up.
Yeah.
And then, well, we got to, you know, my parents are never going to let us do it. And then one by one, the parents. And then, well, Aunt Prue, and then Feeny. And it's like, he literally goes on trial and Corey wins every argument. And at the end, boy gets love conquers all. And boy, you know, boy conquers world. And I was kind of like, but that's not the show.
I know. That is exactly what Jensen said. Jensen said, normally they'd be losing. Normally they would lose the argument. They wouldn't be, they would be on the wrong side. They wouldn't be on the right side. And I will get into it when we let's just jump in and recap the show. But I see your perspective and I would, if it weren't for the fact that all of the adults are on the other side and they're actually, the reason they win is not because they love each other and they should be able to be together. It's because of all the other reasons. That's the only reason I actually ended up enjoying the episode. So we'll talk about it. Let's jump into our recap. Guest starring Olivia Hussey as Aunt Prudence Curtis, a stunt casting if I've ever seen one. She is best known as Juliet in the 1968 movie of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, making her the most famous teen in Hollywood at the time. A movie that was shown in classrooms around the country, despite the fact that she was only 15 years old, and the film included a topless scene. She was allegedly unaware was being filmed until the day of, and then was told that no nudity would actually be seen on screen. In 2023, Olivia and her co-star Leonard Whiting, whose butt was also shown, sued Paramount Pictures for abuse and distributing the underage scene. Do you guys remember working with her?
I remember how exciting it was that she was going to be there because this was one of those. I mean, this was a movie I think they showed us in high school, but I believe they also caught, they might have edited out the underage nudity by this point. Yeah, but I mean, it was Romeo and Juliet. It was at that time, I think, kind of the quintessential version of Romeo and Juliet was that film. I remember her being very, very sweet.
Yeah.
When she walked on camera in my head, and again, this is just because of my age at the time, I remember her being a lot older.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so when I saw her, she walked on, I was like, oh my God, she's stunning. Like I remember her being closer to Bill's age.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Because in your mind, she was 15 probably still.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I meant whatever it was.
And then you're
a
teenager.
Like,
so
God, she's so old, but it wasn't like that at all. I mean, she was good. I mean, I remember her being incredibly nervous.
Yes. Very nervous. I think my only memory of working with her is really just that she was very quiet.
Yeah. and very quiet, very nervous. I remember her saying that, like, I'm just very nervous to be in front of the audience. And so it was, but she was very sweet.
Yeah. Ryder, do you have any memories of, you actually didn't really work with her?
No, it's funny that you said that she was nervous, because that was my feeling watching it. But I wonder how much of that is that I did remember that fact too. Like, there felt like a tension to me when I was watching the episode. I was like, what's happening? Yeah. There's a lot of pressure on her, you know, like obviously the big entrance, and like wondering if anybody's going to even know who she is. So they tee it up as much as they can. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we had an audience this week. I feel like, I don't know why I'm assuming
that. No, we did, because don't you remember when Topanga shows up? They had to cut that because they went crazy when she showed up, and they were, it lasted forever. Mm-hmm. So they, I remember they had to cut it down for the actual edit.
Yeah, I felt myself kind of nervous watching it, but I also just feel like there was a kind of a missed opportunity. I didn't feel like she got to do that much.
I know.
I didn't know what was happening. I didn't quite understand her position in the scenes, and like her going head to head with Feeny. I was like, what is this? Is this
it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
It didn't make a whole lot of sense, and it didn't like it just didn't. It didn't quite pay off. Like, it didn't plan out. Like, I even when they kind of go at each other in this, like, what I assumed was sort of meant to be this, like, meeting of the minds and, like, smart, verbose, and they actually say verbose people, like, going at it. But it just didn't land for me. I was kind of like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're oppositional, or the tools that they have to be oppositional are not that great.
I think it was a fever dream of the writers to get Olivia Hussey and Bill Daniels together acting their faces off with each other, but the characters didn't have enough
to make it pay off. Chubbies. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to try and find a way to like allow her to actually be on stage or in some context, or like for them to do a Shakespeare thing, or I don't know, but obviously they couldn't quite figure that out or make that work. So it just, I don't know. It felt like a lot of expectation and held breath to me.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of like, I just love the idea that they keep using Romeo and Juliet as the pinnacle of how young love conquers all. They died.
I know.
Don't get me started. Like that's what drives me so crazy.
It's not even
that's
close.
When I started like writing all these notes. Like, I was like, what? The whole point. I mean, and that's, it gets to, you know, what I was saying, like the whole point of Romeo and Juliet is that they're kids.
Yeah.
They don't know. That's the point. They're 13. They think they're in love. When we meet Romeo, he's broken up over his last girlfriend.
Right.
He's obsessed with her. So
he
Romeo's a lovesick teenager. He's Ryder Strong.
He's Ryder Strong.
At 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's an idiot. That's the whole point. It's like, it's not the point of the play is not that Romeo and Juliet are right. The point of the play is that they're young idiot kids who love each other and they shouldn't have died, but they took themselves so seriously because of the corrupt adults. You know, they were in opposite. And it's like, that is the worst metaphor for this. Yeah. Like the point of Boy Meets World is that the adults are actually pretty great and nuanced and willing to listen to the kids. And the kids still just don't have power. But in this episode, we completely subvert the power. Like now the kids have all the power. It's so weird to me.
It's also guest starring Katie Johnston as Rosie Sparrow, a new addition to the trio club, if you can believe it, joining Hilary Tuck, Willie Garson, Jonathan Kaplan, and maybe Phil Leeds. Katie Johnston played Hilary, a.k.a. Fish Girl, in Corey's Alternative Friends.
Yes.
Bonnie in Breaking Up is really, really, really hard to do. And now she is British Rosie.
I thought she was British by the accent.
Oh, sure you did.
The accents weren't great.
Well, no, okay. So, I thought my accent was actually pretty good.
Yours, no. Yours
I was surprised.
Bad,
I was like,
the two girls, they weren't the best accents I've ever heard in my life, if I'm being honest.
That's okay. You're allowed to be
both,
honest.
So wait, hold on. They
I don't
both
know
were,
about the
American.
Other
one. The other one is actually British.
Emma Ridley as Becky Sparrow. You may recognize her as Ozma in the Wizard of Oz sequel. And yes, she is British.
Oh, well, then hers is good.
Hers is fine, yeah. Return to Oz. But Boy Meets World was her last of only four acting credits.
Really?
So, yeah. So those are our guest stars. Jumping into our recap, this episode kicks off with a previously seen on, and we see a recap of what happened in part one.
Okay. Did you guys have, like, the crazy voice?
What?
Like, James Earl Jones was introduced.
Barry White did our...
It was crazy.
It was wild.
Why wouldn't it be one of us?
Yeah, I know. I thought it would be Ben or somebody. Like, but it was
or
like...
Bill. How do you not use Bill Daniels' voice?
It was so dramatic and deep. And I was like, whoa, this is serious.
Yes. Very weird.
So funny. So then we're in the Matthews living room. Sean is making out with a girl as her friend sits next to them uncomfortably. The camera pans to a nearby chair where Corey is awkwardly sitting. The girl making out with Sean pulls away and speaks in a British accent. "Don't be such a rushy boy." Sean laughs. "A rushy boy?" Corey painfully smiles back. The girl continues, "Since Rosie and I have been in America, we really haven't been on very many dates, you know?" Rosie chimes in, "Yes, and I suppose Becky and I have a little catching up to do." And then the girls giggle, and Sean is loving it. Becky leans back into Sean, and Rosie diverts her attention to Corey. She points out, "Anyone can sit on a couch, but you were clever enough to choose the cozy chair." She gets up and starts massaging Corey's shoulders. "Clever indeed," she announces. "Are you just as clever?" Becky slides her hands down Corey's arms, but quickly picks up the phone, pretending to talk to Topanga. Rosie is confused. "Did anyone hear the phone ring?" "Nope, she didn't hear anything." Sean's annoyed. He walks over to Corey and hangs up the phone. Corey's mad.
Could not take my eyes off the phone, by the way. Because really? I was like, I had that phone. I had that exact phone in my house. It's like, oh, so I miss those. Yeah. I was very confused. So are Corey and Topanga, I know, are they broken up? Yeah, that's what I didn't get from this opening.
It was a weird, it wasn't set up in any way. Because you find out later, after Topanga's already there and they're sitting on the couch, that they had been talking every day. And then right. at this point, it had been a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday that had passed. And
right, yeah, I think they tried to set it up in the first one. I think they tried to set it up in the first one that he says to her something along the lines of, "Is it fair if I'm not there for you not to see other people?" And that's kind of where they left it, where then she comes and says, "I'm coming to say goodbye." Mm-hmm. And he right. won't do it. So I think they're trying to say that they're giving each other space and they can hang out with other people. But I don't think so.
It feels. Yeah. And I guess the only reason I just didn't understand Sean's point. Like, right. is Sean saying, "Make out with this girl, get yes. over Topanga," which is
yeah.
a yes, little yes. odd considering how he was in the previous episode where he was like, "You're going to end up together. TV
yeah,
shows
you
always,
you know, that kind yeah. of pain."
He believes it. And then I think that becomes a thing where Sean's the one who actually believes in their love even right. more than Corey and Topanga at times.
Yes.
So it was weird for Sean to be rooting. And I thought, well, I don't know. I guess maybe if it had just been clear, like, Topanga and I are taking a break, or and then it would be like, and then Corey's not able to do that.
Exactly.
And Sean's saying, you right. have to be able to do this to right. try it out and know that yes. you can move on. But I don't know why they left it kind of messy. I mean, I understand yeah. real life is messy and you have these yeah. sort of like half breakups, but I guess I kind of want to just know for the sake of whether I should be on Sean's side or not.
Because I couldn't help but be like, Sean, shut up, dude. You easily could have said, "Corey, you and Topanga talked about this.
Exactly.
You're going right. to give each other space. Right. How yep. are you? You have to dive into normal life." Like, yeah. there's
or
an
even
opportunity.
Just, I know you're not going to make out with this girl, but just go along so I can make out with the other right. girl. You know, like, just be my wingman. You don't have right. to do anything.
Right.
But just don't, you know, it's really, I was thinking of the Swingers scene, you know, Puppy Dogs and Ice Cream, like, yeah. where, you know, Jon Favreau is bringing down Vince Vaughn's game because he yeah. keeps talking about his breakup, which is kind of what this was, like, almost verbatim. And I was like, it could have been fine for him to not be making out, but just don't bring up Topanga while right. we're having on this double date. You know, right. let me have my date. But instead, Sean's kind of already making out. Like, what does he care, really?
I don't know. It's weird. They wanted to have their cake and eat it, too, with your character. You're both right, super supportive of his relationship and on his team, but also old Sean, which was, "Come on, dude, we just got to make out with as many girls as yeah. we can."
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Corey says, "You hung up the phone on Topanga." Sean fires back, "I hung up on nobody. The phone has to ring for somebody to be on it." Corey is killing him. Corey retorts, "I haven't done anything." Sean admits that's exactly what the problem is. "You have a beautiful girl from another country who doesn't understand our language, and you haven't done a thing." And this is where I notice that, Ryder, you have a black fingernail.
I saw that too. Was it? I think
really?
It was a.
Yes, it's a middle
it a
finger. Yeah, he
yeah,
has
smashed
some,
my finger.
You yep. smashed your finger. Do you remember why you would have smashed your finger?
No, I don't. But I definitely remember smashing my finger, and I needed to get like, if blood builds up underneath
yes.
the fingernail,
you
have to burn a hole in
yeah.
it. Yeah.
yeah.
So I remember having to do that. But yeah,
were you smelting something? Maybe. That's possible. You could have been making a grappling hook.
I'm sure I just slammed it in a car door. Yeah,
he
I
was
no
he was making a wooden rose for some yes. woman he was in love with.
I was whittling a rose.
Whittling a rose. So the girls are giggling again. They do a lot of giggling in this scene. Mm-hmm. Sean begs Corey to move faster. They're only here on a 6-month visa. Corey explains he's worried about Topang, but Sean puts his hand over his mouth to prevent him from saying her full name. Please, for one night, I beg of you, there is no Topang.
Good joke.
So Corey bravely takes a seat on the couch while Becky gets on Sean's lap to start making out again. Corey and Rosie still just stare at each other awkwardly. Well, I guess we should kiss now, Corey says. She responds, I suppose we could. We don't have to. So when nothing happens, she asks, do I make you sad? Corey responds, no, and I think you're very delightful. I think you speak English quite well. She smiles and inches closer to him. He continues, I've just been going out with this girl for like 16 years.
Nope.
Sean.
I just sat there going, nope.
I know.
Nope.
I know.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
He even says in his speech about what their relationship is later, he calls those the lost years. It's like, if you have lost years right there, you haven't been going out for 16 years.
And you're like, 16 years old and you're calling the lost years is like 8 years exactly. of the 16. It's
By
like,
the way, all of them being the years we have seen.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Sean, mid-makeout, pretends to cough. I'll kill you. Corey lowers his voice to a whisper. A girl named Topanga. He explains the story about meeting Topanga when they were 8 months old in the sandbox. Rosie asks, she was your first girlfriend then? And Corey nods, I'm pretty sure. 2 weeks ago, she moved to Pittsburgh and I never got a chance to say goodbye and that I love her. He wonders if he'll ever get the chance to tell her. Will she know? Have they not spoken in these 2 weeks? It's like, this is weird. He never got a chance to say goodbye and tell her that he loves her. And yet, like, so then you just haven't spoken at all? You haven't addressed that with her? Like, I'm so sorry I screwed that up. I really didn't think you were going to go. I should have said goodbye.
It also weird. Doesn't make any sense that they've already established that he has a license and that it's a 5-hour drive and Eric drives there all the time. How has he not already been there? At least once.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought maybe Topanga is mad at him for not saying a proper goodbye. Like maybe there has been some tension between them for these 2 weeks that the way they ended things made her upset.
Right.
But I know this part, this setup is not it.
It was messy.
Yeah. The point of the scene is that Corey's not over Topanga and he can't move on. And Sean wants him to move on. Right.
Yeah.
So why not be very clear about that? Like,
yeah.
Topanga and I had a conversation that we can see other people and I'm not able to because I'm still in love with her.
Absolutely. Done. The same exactly. Topanga was upset with the way I couldn't handle a goodbye and that if I couldn't even handle a goodbye, how could I possibly handle long distance? And we decided
We decided to take a break.
To take a break and see.
And I'm heartbroken and I'm still in love.
Exactly.
And then she shows up at the door. It would have been the same story.
It would have.
It's also, interesting that they wanted to keep it
money. Jokes too. There's 1,000 jokes you can do. It's Sean going, she said to move on. So move on to the couch. I mean, like there's so many different ways you could have gone with it at one line and it would have made it a lot less messy.
It's also even more romantic if they had both agreed, we have to take some space and I'm going
to
move on.
We have to do
on.
The smart thing and not be lovesick teenagers and we can't help it. We just are.
And I just want to see your face. I had to see your face.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandy.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow.
Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
So Rosie reveals that this is the most beautiful and heartfelt thing she's ever heard. Would you mind very much if I cried my eyes out just right now? Corey responds with a shaky voice. Would it be okay if I cried with you? They hug, and as they start to cry, Sean and Becky think the embrace is a makeout session. Becky notices he seems to be quite the rushy boy, too. Sean smiles. I taught him everything he knows. And they go back to mauling each other. That's a long scene.
It is a long scene. You don't really learn anything at all except that Corey's not over Topanga, which we kind of would have guessed anyway.
You know, so, I mean, taking our time machine idea, why couldn't this scene have taken place in Chubby's, where Sean is on a date alone and Corey keeps wanting to talk to Sean about his situation with Topanga? And then she said, maybe we just need to take a break. We can't live. And Sean's like, okay, I love you, but let's, he could have been just interrupting and we get all the exposition about what the update is without it needing. I mean, it was
I'm so uncomfortable in this episode. Like, I'm just checked out. And I think part of it is it feels like for Sean, it just doesn't, it feels like we've gone back to season two, Sean.
Yes.
It's like we just like reset. And I've never loved Topanga, never had the connections and fought for Corey and Topanga the way I have, or, you know, it's so, I think, you know, I can just tell that, like, at that age, even, I was probably just like, what am I doing? This doesn't make sense to me. All right, I'll just.
But it's a strange juxtaposition for your performance, especially because even Sue pointed it out. You might feel like you were checked out, but your timing is way better than it. It's getting better progresses. Comedically.
I feel like I wasn't committed. I feel like I could throwing things away.
Even Sue, who's never seen these before, looked up and she's like, wow, Ryder's really like hitting his stride with this stuff. So you see
that's
out.
Funny. But other people, I was watching it going, man, I'm out of it. I thought don't the same thing
with Eric in this. I was like, what is Eric doing in this episode?
Yeah.
Then we get a commercial break, and when we come back, Topanga, we're in Topanga's abandoned room, which I don't know
how. Was it always a pink carpet?
I don't remember that. I also do not recognize the room at all in any way, shape, or form. Corey is sitting on the floor of Topanga's empty room looking like a sad Ben Affleck meme, and there's a knock at the window. It's Eric, dressed like a police sketch, retrieving Corey for dinner.
I know. And I was like, oh, we're on the ground floor. I didn't quite realize that. For some reason, I was like, I guess I just imagined it was like the boys' bedroom where Corey was climbing a tree to get up there. But I was like, oh, Eric's standing. He's hovering. He's on the ground.
So then we follow up that very long scene we just had with a scene that is at most 4 seconds long.
Corey dinner. Thank you. I just recreated the entire scene.
There it is. You've seen it. Then we're in the Matthews kitchen. Eric escorts Corey into the house. They are both completely drenched from the rain. Eric is treating him like a lost puppy. Good boy. Let's get you out of the rain.
Alan had that sweatshirt to like a month ago. That gray sweatshirt.
Did it have moth holes?
They weren't moth holes, but there were holes all over it. Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's like cigarette holes, cigarette burns. all my old clothes.
Will's old clothes.
It's true. It's true.
So funny.
Don't smoke, kids. Please don't smoke.
Alan looks at his despondent son with concern. I know this is tough on you, but you can't go on avoiding life. Eric chimes in. He's absolutely right. I had the same problem when I broke up with Francesca. Alan asks, who's Francesca? Eric slyly whispers, there is no Francesca. I'm just trying to help. Alan whispers back, nobody wants that. And the way you do, okay. It's so funny to me. Okay. It's so funny. Alan asks Corey, why don't we just drive down to Pittsburgh this weekend? I need to see some suppliers and you can spend some time with Topanga. That's a great dad.
Hell yeah.
What a great dad move. Hey, yeah. You know what I was thinking? I've actually got to go to Pittsburgh. Do you want to go with me and you can spend some time with her and I'll get my work done?
Ah, right. Great. Yeah.
Guess where this kind of stuff doesn't happen? Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly.
No, exactly. It's Romeo and Juliet, Ryder. It's okay. About kid love. It is the ultimate kid love. It worked out. They're still together today.
They used to rewrite it to like make it a happy ending. It's like, that's not that.
Well,
that's the
version I think they read before they thought about Corey.
The cliff notes.
Like, it lasts forever.
I do feel like I have a chip on my shoulder about Romeo and Juliet and the popular conception because it's so misinterpreted as this like love story, this great, you know, platonic ideal of young. And it's like, no, that's not the point of the play. If it was just a romance, there's tons of those stories, right? Yeah. A good romance is just two people that shouldn't be together end up together. And that's great. But that's not what makes Romeo and Juliet great. What makes Romeo and Juliet great is that it's more complicated than that and that they're not right and that the parents have to learn from them and they have to learn from them. It's great. Ugh.
Amy says she doesn't think that's the best idea. Corey defensively responds, you've made it really clear how you feel. My feelings are for you. I don't want you to be in pain, she explains. Corey doesn't hesitate. No, you just don't want me and Topanga to be together. Amy clarifies, I don't want you to be sick over Topanga. She isn't here anymore. I think this presents a good opportunity to get to know other girls.
Very reasonable.
Wonderful. My mom used to say to me all the time, Danielle, if you're constantly wrapped up with the wrong person, how are you ever supposed to be available for the right person?
Exactly.
And not that Amy is saying Topanga's the wrong person, but more about she isn't here.
Betsy is so good in this episode.
I know
she is. And it's so when she was hired, right? She's like, we were talking to her this weekend and she's one of the few adults who had done sitcom before.
Yes.
Because Bill and Rusty had neither of them had ever done a sitcom before. And she was the sitcom pro. And yet, you know, and she was very funny in the early seasons, but like now, like here she is just carrying a very nuanced, dramatic, through line that is tough because, you know, you don't want her to be a monster, right?
Totally.
Like, and what she's saying is very reasonable and, just, I loved watching her. I was like, wow.
This is her best episode so far, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a drama episode. How funny is that? Exactly. Like, she can do drama so well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really great.
So Corey fights back. I don't want to know other girls. He and Topanga would have been together for the rest of their lives. Amy doesn't think that's true. She insists you both have to get to know other people to make a choice like that. I had relationships with 4 other men before I met your father. Eric doesn't want to hear that. Ma! Alan is confused. I know 3.
Corey... 4 seems like not that many.
No.
But I guess they were pretty young, right?
They were pretty young. They were in their early 20s.
Yeah, so. I think they met teenagers, late teens, early 20s. And so,
So Corey tells his mom, I'm sure you'll be really happy to know that I'm not going to Pittsburgh. He's realized he's been the one who's making all the calls. He's been the one writing all the letters. And he will not be the one who travels 300 miles to be rejected and look like a fool. He concludes, if life doesn't want me and Topanga to be together, then you can't fight life. He opens the back door and turns around to see Topanga standing there, also drenched.
Do you remember this, Danielle?
Oh, I remember it vividly. Yes, I remember. So the way the Matthews living room was right in front of the audience and that therefore the backyard, side yard, Feeney's yard was also right in front of the audience. And they put up a big black screen so that I could walk down the backyard and be at the back door without the audience knowing because they wanted the reaction, the surprise reaction.
Reveal. Yeah.
And I remember the very first time we did it, like Will said, you reveal me at the door and the audience gasped, a big gasp.
Yeah.
And then they started cheering, and they cheered for a long time. And we just had to stand there staring at each other with that.
I bet you,
know, you
it was, I in the entire run of Boy Meets World, I bet you it was the longest, most genuine audience reaction we'd ever had.
You think so?
I would say I do. I can't think of another moment that was, because I remember all of us sitting there, because we're all in the scene at this point.
Right.
And all of us just sitting there holding and holding. And and when you're on a stage like that and the audience is there, 5 seconds feels like 50 seconds. So 30 seconds felt like minutes that we were sitting there as they were going off. And I can't think of another reaction that was that long or real.
Yeah, it's so funny too, because since we've been doing the, I remember it vividly, and I remember thinking, wow, this was way more than I was expecting. And as we're doing the rewatch, I'm thinking, I guess it's different if you're young, because we've had to be told so much about their relationship that it does feel to me like a little, all of this feels a little anticlimactic. Like,
right.
Okay, God, settle down, guys.
Settle down. She's there. It's fine. Very briefly, I have a technical question. The rain outside.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, because I don't remember how they did this. Was it just, did they wet you down and then it was sheeting on the windows? Or was there a rain machine outside the door so you're actually getting rained on outside the door?
No, I wasn't getting rained on. I was just all wet and sprayed down, and then they had the rain on the windows.
That's what I figured. Okay, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, so I, you know, that's why my hair still looks glorious. It's like brushed back away from my face. I remember being like, she needs to look like a wet rat, but we still want her to be cute.
Okay. So like you're Joey the Rat, who was cute.
Right, exactly. A Joey the Rat.
A sexy Joey the Rat.
That's what I'm looking for.
Where's my fleece crop top?
Well, you are in the rain.
But what choice has Corey made? What has Corey done in this entire episode?
Well, the funny thing is that it feels like what he's just decided is I'm done with Topanga. Right before she shows up. It feels like he says, you know, because I mean, he does. He says, if life doesn't want us to be together, you can't fight life. So I'm basically, that's it. I'm out. I guess I'm just going to have to, I'm sad, but I'm moving
so
on.
So he chooses to break up. But that's why they had to keep it vague in the beginning, because they had to highlight that he is choosing
to still be
to
with
not
her.
To move on and to break up with her at this moment. And it just, you know, right at the act break, there she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cause his dad does say we can go visit her.
And he goes, no. Yeah. It's just also weird because in that moment, this is the first reveal that he's made the phone calls. He's written the letters. There's been no, in that first scene with the makeout stuff, he doesn't say like, and I've been trying so hard since she's been gone. And now she's not writing me back, or we haven't talked in a few days. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe there's somebody else. None of that set up. It's just but we find it out here in the scene right before she shows up. So there's a lot of this needed to be a three-parter.
No, it's just that first scene needed to be. If that first scene was different.
Yeah.
And just they got rid of the messiness of the first scene. It would have changed
the tone
really needed
of the a
entire thing.
Yes, to set the rest of this up.
It absolutely did. If it starts with Corey on the phone leaving a message for Topanga, I'm leaving another message for you. Yeah. I don't know where you are. I mean, something like that.
Yes.
It's more like an argument. It's more like a discussion. And it's more like Corey laying out his vision of the world. And now we get into it. Now it's just going to be monologues and debates. And then everything
changes for the better.
Well, I think it's
because they had to change the entire Corey Topanga relationship. You now, after this episode, you need to believe they have been together since they were 8 months old and they're going to be together forever. And we have 22 minutes to do it.
This is the new testament of Boy Meets World. We're rewriting. We're now into the next stage.
Yep.
And you have to just accept this as the reality.
Exactly. That's what they did.
The whole point is that you're a kid.
I know.
You don't know anything.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
So then we go to a commercial break. We're back in the Matthews kitchen. Topanga asks Corey if he's going to hug her, and he does. I missed you so much, he admits. Alan and Amy both say hi to her, and Amy asks if her parents would like to come in. Eric closes the door and announces, there are no parents. Amy asks, your parents dropped you off? And Eric answers, I'm betting no. And you're eating licorice.
I love the acronym.
Daniel's favorite.
Do you think you asked licorice. For that? You must have asked for that, right?
I did. I think I was at the Brad Pitt eating stage.
Yeah. Of your career.
of my career, which is I'm like having a
business. Totally think it works, man. I mean, it's like, yeah, because you had the toothpick in the previous episode, yep. Like two episodes. And yeah, I think it's, but in this case, like, there's nothing for you to do. Like,
no.
And it makes it so much funnier if you're like, yeah, I'm just, you know, you're basically eating popcorn, right?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
The idea of like, can't wait. And that's the rest of the, your part for the rest of the episode.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, it totally works.
So funny. So Topanga tells Corey she couldn't be without him. Amy asks, your parents don't know you're here, do they? Topanga shakes her head while Eric narrates, no, they don't. Alan knows this is trouble. Your parents are going to be very worried about you. And she gets defensive. They weren't worried about me when they decided to move. Topanga told her parents how much Corey meant to her and how she couldn't be away from him. They just told her she was too young to say things like that. Topanga explains, she didn't run away from her parents. She ran away to Corey. Alan turns to Amy. It just got serious now. Amy tells Topanga she has to call her parents, and Corey tries to stop her. Her parents don't understand her, just like his parents don't understand him. Amy calmly tells Topanga, I know you miss Corey, but to come here without your parents' permission, that's just wrong. Corey yells, how can it be wrong if she loves me enough to do that? I'm sorry I didn't do it myself. And Topanga lets out a little smile.
All right, then this is, I mean, that is like some whacked up logic. I mean, it's so self-justifying, right? Like, well, how can it be wrong if, because I'm in love, and if I do something out of love, then it can't be wrong, therefore it's not wrong.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like, how can it be bad if, wait, love can't be bad, and I love you, therefore I can do nothing bad.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, this is really not healthy.
It's teen logic, but it's total teen
sure,
logic.
Sure, But the show bends to it for the rest of the. I mean, this is the escalation that we set up. Now,
there's no way out.
She has to not go to Yale. They have to get married. Like, you've changed the rules of the show. You've said from now on, Corey is, you know, this love is going to defy all the adults. It's going to defy reality.
It
and we're going
all.
To. It's and that, that is just. And it's like, whoa, okay, now you can do nothing wrong if you're doing it for love.
I think the world doesn't feel yet like it's bending to it to me because every adult in the scene is still saying.
Right, but the point of this episode is that every adult bends. Like every, and then the whole reality bends.
But they don't bend because they agree, you're right, you're in love and you should be together. They bend because the idea that Topanga has lived here her entire life and has grown up here, and it's only 1 year before she's going to move for college anyway. And so they end up agreeing kind of like, not because you should be with Corey, but because really it is a lot to ask of a 17-year-old kid to move the last year of high school and uproot their entire life if there is another solution so that she could stay. Not because I think she should stay because you and Corey should be together necessarily, but because it is an uprooting of your life. And and all of the adults, including Aunt Prue, because I didn't remember that Aunt Prudence actually still says, I do not love this relationship. I actually think this is an illness and I don't love the exclusivity of it. I don't like any of that. But I do think you should be allowed for one more year of your life before you decide where you're going to go to college. You should be able to stay in this place, not because we're going to get you an apartment and emancipate you and change your entire life, but because you could live with me.
But Aunt Prue is just like the deus ex machina who comes in and fixes the situation.
Yeah.
But the whole situation, like, you do convince Alan, then Amy, then Feeny. You watch all the pillars fall of the adult world, and they all bend to this logic that Corey just stated, which is, how can it be crazy if I were in love? And then they're all going to try and support them, you know, and they change their minds, and the situation then just magically gets fixed by Aunt Prue showing up and saying, well, she can stay with me. Okay, but like, and that's what I mean. The whole reality of Boy Meets World is no longer that the adult, that the powerlessness of childhood is the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
And now it's no longer the point. The point is that they are empowered through their love and they are better than the adults. They are better than the world and they're going to make it no matter what. And that's just, that's a romance. It's a romance story. And they're going to, and you know, now we've set ourselves up. That's why I thought maybe, God, you know, it's kind of short-sighted because now the show has to keep insisting Corey, and it has to keep digging in deeper in order to rationalize this episode.
But it gets even crazier because if they're juniors in high school, they're engaged in a year.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I proposed that college graduation. I mean, high school graduation. Yeah.
Yeah. They're engaged in a year.
So well, how can it be crazy if you're in love?
Amy begs Alan to help her here. He jumps in. First of all, we are not the enemy. We understand that you two want to be together, but this is not the way to go about it. Amy tells them she's calling. And just in case you thought, well, how does she know Topanga's number? The kitchen whiteboard actually says Topanga's number in Pittsburgh. with a phone number.
Yep.
So Corey runs to Topanga and promises no one will take her away from him. He turns to his parents and Alan sighs, we have to. They embrace and kind of touch noses. And then we're in the Matthews living room. Topanga, now in very comfy looking sweats, is drying off her hair while Corey recaps all the days they haven't spoken to each other since she's left. She explains, I could have sat and talked to you on the phone every day, but it was just the phone. And every time I hung up, it got harder for me. I just tried to stay busy. He gets defensive. Does busy include going to the school dance with your new friends? Whoa, Corey. Calm down.
I know. He was trying to make out with somebody or thought he should be making out with somebody.
That was forced upon him by Sean, though.
Right. It was so weird. It was like, where did he even get that idea? And why is he so angry at the assumption?
We did an episode of that idea, right? Where she did
go as the French girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost read it like he was almost doing it tongue in cheek, but maybe not. Like, does that include going to your, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. It seemed like he
had
so
a bit of a lilt to it, but not. Yeah, it was a little strange.
She questions, how'd you know? He admits that it was just a guess. And Topanga says it was just something to do. She had a lousy time because all she could think about was Corey. And the audience loudly, aww.
Aww. Writer's favorite. Audience
writer
wanted.
Writer was really stabbing himself in the eyeball there. Topanga wonders, you missed a phone call or two. Where were you? Corey responds, if I missed a phone call, it's because I was at the mailbox checking for a letter. And then on cue, Sean bursts through the door. The Sparrow Sisters called. They want to see us again. the audience
can't see Topanga. I guess
it's just a random person there, body.
On.
And the audience loves this. It's a big reaction to this happening. Sean continues, "Naturally, I told them you were married. Great timing.
Yep.
All very, very funny." Topanga smiles. "The Sparrow sisters? They were in your mailbox, were they?" Corey responds, "Trust me, I love you." She smiles. "I know you do. I love you too." Cool.
Cool. You also notice your hair keeps getting wetter and then it's dry.
Why do they keep doing that? I know.
And then it's wetter. Yeah.
It was bothering me the whole time. It's like, just stick with the fact that her hair is dry now. It's been enough time that her hair has dried. Please. Yep. Or that I dried it with a hair dryer. We do not need to keep going back to having wet hair.
Don't I say your hair is wet, you're wearing Corey's clothes. And that's my next line.
Yeah,
so I think that's why they had to wait, her hair's not wet enough. Go.
Her hair's a mess. Something.
That's what, it was several levels of dampness.
It was so, it went back and forth so many times.
It did. That's funny.
So then Sean puts two and two together. Your hair's wet. You're wearing Corey's clothes. You ran away, didn't you? She nods and he laughs. She gets that from me. Then Corey's parents walk down the stairs and Sean exclaims, "Hey, she ran away." But Alan and Amy aren't pleased. So Sean changes his tone. Bad, bad, bad girl. And then he runs out of the house.
He's out.
I love this drive-by. I love it. That's it. I love the drive-by involvement.
Drive-by Sean.
I wonder if there's ever a draft where they tried to keep me around for any of this discussion.
And by the way, it would have been funny for you and Eric to be in cahoots on, eating popcorn. It's the meme. You guys would have been the meme of just sitting back eating popcorn. Yep.
Yeah. And I just don't know where Sean's at. Like, is he rooting for Topanga and Corey at this point? Is he not?
They're not. Yeah, not about you. It's not about you.
Yeah. I was just about to say, they did that last episode. You had an opinion. You don't need an opinion this episode.
Sure.
Alan reveals they called Topanga's parents and Amy continues. And later on, Corey angrily cuts her off. And later on what? She's going back to her house? Then fine, I'm going with her. Amy reminds him, you live here. Topanga lives in Pittsburgh. I didn't do it. Stop jumping on me. Corey argues, I'm jumping on you because you seem happy about this. Why don't you want us to be together? I do not think she seems happy about this.
No, it feels she's not happy at all.
She's not happy at all. And I love their argument because I can totally see myself having this conversation with Adler. Adler, I'm not the enemy here.
Right.
Let's work together. I understand. I'm hearing you. I love, Ryder, we've talked about it a lot in parenting, just validating your kids' feelings.
Oh, it's the most important
thing.
They
do it so often in this episode.
Yeah.
I have heard you. You want to be together. You love each other.
Right.
Please stop attacking us.
Wait, is that why you and Ryder talk to me like that all the time? Are you validating my feelings a child?
Do validate your feelings, Will. That is right. It's okay that you feel this way. It's okay that you feel that way.
It makes me feel better every time. It's
one of the most human things that we all take for granted is that just having your feelings said back to you is so powerful.
You're
it's so great.
It's so good.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandy.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Eric frantically runs into the room from the kitchen. I hear yelling. Alan tells him to go upstairs, but Eric doesn't budge. I hear yelling. I'm not involved. I'm staying. So again, now your whole point through the rest of this is just drama, and I'm not in it. I want to watch it.
Which is, we need the comic relief, right? We need the like cutaways to break Eric it up. Just to help it.
At some point,
And then Amy continues to Corey, you cannot make adult life decisions without adult life experiences behind those decisions to make them stand up. Valid. Good point.
Yep.
Corey simply states, I love her.
That's it.
That's it. That's all. That's it. That's the entire episode.
Love. Yeah. That's all that matters.
So you say, Amy responds, but what does love mean to you at 16 years old? Amy says she's been with Alan for 22 years, and she is just now beginning to realize what love really means. Eric loudly questions, was I a big surprise? They completely disregard him.
Does that make sense? I didn't get that.
No, I didn't get it either.
What is the joke? Because if they were together for that long, because Eric's 19.
Right.
So it's not, what?
I know.
What is the joke? That she slept with somebody else? Because she's saying, because she says, I'm just now beginning to understand. So is he saying like, oh, you guys still haven't made love? So I couldn't have been.
Right.
I
definitely don't think it's a cheating thing. I think it's more like if you weren't
planning.
I should have been born from love. Babies are born from love. And so if I was born and you didn't love him yet.
Okay. Gotcha.
I must have been a big surprise? But it's a lot of math for. I feel like there's a punchier, harder joke there than was I a big surprise, but it's still funny.
It's still funny. I mean, just anything Eric says at this point, it's like a break and you're like, ah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, thank you.
Tension
Amy
release.
Asks Corey to tell her what love means then. And he tells them, I haven't been together with Topanga for 22 years, but we have been together for 16. Okay. That's a lot longer than most couples. Cool. Corey reminds them, building the alternate timeline piece by piece, when we were born, you told me that we used to take walks in our strollers together around the block. When we were two, we were best friends. When we were six, Eric made fun of me because it wasn't cool to have a best friend that's a girl. So for the next 7 years, I threw dirt at her. So for 7 of the 16 years, you were
He was
not,
dirt throwing.
Not right.
Yeah, you were not together. It's a significant, 50% is a significant chunk.
A significant portion, especially when the other portion of it is from 8 months to 6.
Yes, exactly. It's like me, it's like, well, I haven't smoked for 10 years from 0 to 10. I was not a smoker. It's like, that's not
exactly.
The same. Yeah,
exactly. It's so, so funny. I like to call those the lost years. Topanga asks Eric, you were the one who made him throw dirt at me? And Eric scoffs, you were a girl, noogie head.
Which is just such a weird, that's when I was like, ooh, okay. I didn't know what else to, but as I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, how would I do that now?
I know.
And that's when I realized I wouldn't. I would be like, can we do something other than noogie head? It's just not working for me.
I thought it was kind of cute. Corey continues transitioning into the real timeline. When I was 13, she put me up against my locker and she kissed me. She gave me my first kiss. She taught me how to dance. And Corey closes with, that's what
I
think.
He was 11 though, wasn't he?
Wasn't it her?
He was 12.
12, 11 or 12? Yeah.
12, yeah. And it was both our first kiss. And he closes with, that's what I think love is. When I'm better because she's here and now she won't be. Topanga tells him why it's a good thing that Corey is the only boy she's ever loved. She gives a sweet little speech about wanting to do the things people who were in love do and with Corey instead of some random guy in Pittsburgh.
DTF.
Do you remember this? Do you remember Michael's talking to you about this?
No.
This was during a note session. Oh, yeah. No, this was during a note session. I guess you ran by it one time.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, do you realize what you're saying? You're saying we want to lose our virginity together. I don't want to do it with some other random guy. And he like laid it out for you where he's like, you are saying that you guys want to eventually have sex together for the first time ever. And I remember sitting there and I was like, okay, I think she got it, but you don't need to bracket it as much as you did. Like it was.
Right.
Yeah. But I just think that's one of the few memories I have from this week was
maybe
that.
That's why like, I understood it so clearly when I was watching it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's really spelling it out there.
That's the way we pointed that out. Do you realize what you're saying? Like, okay.
Her argument is like, why would I just, you know, have a lovemaking experience or just a relationship with some random guy because he happens to live in Pittsburgh, as opposed to the guy who just happened to be born four blocks away from me? Like, what?
Right.
Like, why is this any better necessarily? Right. Like,
well,
you were just
I've
randomly in the same neighborhood
over
as Corey.
The 16 right. years. The idea right. is just.
But does that make it better? Just because you know somebody for 16 years doesn't, like, especially if you're a kid. That doesn't mean that doesn't rationalize that you should have sex with them, right? Like that doesn't make
sure. We've known a lot of people for we would have all slept together.
Yeah,
I think what he's trying to say is that Topanga, they've already established that Topanga is chaste in her way,
right?
So eventually, she wanted to experience this with a person she had this deep spiritual connection with.
Correct. And the idea for Topanga is that this is the age when that kind of stuff starts to happen. And if it's going to happen when I'm living in another place, it's going to be with somebody I haven't had a 16-year history with.
Right.
It's going to be with somebody
for 7 years.
Right. Yeah. And I love
I think
that.
That would probably be better. Yeah. I can't like the idea to me of like the fact that we were born in the same town, come from the same class.
Right.
Race, you know, a subset of whatever.
Well,
like
you're
you take
putting
the categories.
Words in her mouth. Settle
no,
down.
No, I'm saying just in life. Like
right.
I believe like, no, go out, experience, meet more people. The chances of you finding somebody great increase the diversity of people
sure.
that you meet
yes.
in the world.
Sure.
So explore the world, move to another city, change, and you will more likely find a good person. Why do you have to just stay in your tribe
because
or your small little subset
to be together, Ryder.
Very clear
to be together.
Very clear, Ryder.
That's the answer. That's what they say. That's the answer. No, it is. No, they're just supposed
to
be
it's
together.
Fate. Yeah, it's supernatural. Yep. I mean, that's the thing. It's it's an article of faith, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about because he says love is faith. So it's just have faith in this.
Yeah.
Eric asks, should I call the caterers? And then the doorbell rings and he jokes, never mind, they're here. Alan reveals it's actually Topanga's aunt. Topanga is shocked. My Aunt Prudence? Corey's hopeful. Maybe she'll be on our side. Corey's still convinced he and Topanga are Romeo and Juliet, but Topanga says her aunt has never been in love, never been married, and wouldn't even know who Romeo and Juliet were. Set up, set up, set up. The door opens to reveal Aunt Prudence, a.k.a. Olivia Hussey, 1968's Juliet.
And there's no way our audience would know who that was.
That's exactly what I said. They gave a raucous applause, and that was definitely... asked for
lights.
Applause lights, please.
Yeah.
The crowd gives a rowdy applause. Eric sees her and asks, how is that possible? Because my aunt looks like an elephant. Alan reminds him, that's my sister you're talking about. Eric laughs. She does, man.
That was a good exchange.
So good.
I'm just pointing at her right in her face. How is that possible?
I know.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Aunt Prue strolls in and greets her niece, then refers to Corey as the young man who has her niece so smitten. Corey begs her not to take Topanga away from him. She apologizes. Her instructions are to take Topanga home with her and put her on a train to Pittsburgh first thing in the morning. Topanga begs him to help, but he's convinced everyone wants them apart, except Alan. Corey asks if he's really going to let them take Topanga away, and Alan says, I don't think I'm going to have to. And you're right, Ryder. This is where I forgot about this part, where like all of a sudden the adults kind of just crumble. Alan explains, you may have known Topanga since you were born, but I've known your mother, like, forever.
And what I know about your mother and the thing I respect in her the most is that she has always put her faith in love when she sees it. He emphasizes, which is why she chose me when her parents told her not to. Love is faith. Do you love your mother? Corey answers yes, and Alan tells him, then have faith. Amy slowly strolls over to Topanga. It would be wrong. And then she turns to Aunt Prue and finishes for Topanga to go back to Pittsburgh.
And Prudence what is, changes for Betsy?
Like, I know. Or that Amy's, is the part I don't know.
This is the big turn, is that she's been basically saying the same thing Aunt Prue has been saying. Yeah. But then right now, because of what Rusty what says,
yeah.
she but turns.
Rusty, but Rusty specifically says he's reminding her that your parents did not want me to be with you either.
Yeah.
And look what he says, like the way that your parents. So I think he's reminding her this was us.
Yes, we are these two.
And we. How great would it have been had your parents been supportive of us when we needed them to be? Right. So yeah. Let's be supportive of them now. I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
Right. And Prudence, I don't know if it necessarily worked, but that's what they're going
for. But that is what right. they're going for. You're absolutely right. Prudence is taken aback. Certainly, you're not suggesting I let some puppy love between two 16-year-old children interfere with her parents' wishes. And Amy nods, explaining that Topanga was born and raised in Philly, and forcing Topanga to Pittsburgh for 1 year before she has to leave again for college is irresponsible. Prudence is pleased to hear Amy calling Topanga's parents irresponsible, so she sits down, inviting Amy to continue. Amy brings Topanga into her arms as they plop down on the couch. She's known Topanga for 16 years, too. It's hard not to love her. No matter how old he is, it will be hard for him to find better. And I got emotional watching it because I remember getting emotional in the moment every time with Betsy.
You could tell. It was very real, that moment that you had with her. You could tell you were choked up there.
Yeah, I was choked up. Betsy yep. was choked up.
Yep.
And, you sweet. Know, because yeah. I do remember for Betsy and I, this feeling of like, we love each other so much. And so the fact that she gets to say to me, even though I don't necessarily agree with their relationship, Topanga, it's not because Topanga isn't good. She's great. Right. And right. That part's such a nice feeling. It's not that I don't love you. I think you're the best. Right. It's just all this other stuff. So I remember getting choked up there. Amy tells Corey, you're my son. I never want you to be in pain. Prudence asks the kids if they would excuse them so she can speak to Amy and Alan alone. And they oblige, walking into the kitchen. Alan gives them a reassuring nod and a weirdly timed one shot. Eric, who's still in the room, puts his feet up on the table to get comfortable. Oh, I'm staying. And then we're in the Matthews backyard. Corey and Topanga are sitting on the bench waiting for a final decision. Feeny walks outside to find them together, and they break apart from their cuddling position. Feeny insists, this isn't the classroom, as you were. Feeny asks, even though this isn't the classroom, would you mind if I taught you a lesson anyway? They nod, and Feeny continues, believe it or not, there was a time in my life where I cared for someone as deeply as you two care for each other now. Corey's surprised. You believe we love each other? Feeny moves on. And for no reason I understood, my wife was taken from me, and I haven't been so deeply in love since. Corey smiles. I know, me too.
You knew it was coming, but every time he talks about it and you just see
Lillian,
this man who never remarried, never did anything, just found the love of his life, and then she was gone, and you don't really know how, and it's just very, you put yourself in that, when you're married or you have a partner, you put yourself in that position, and it's gut-wrenching. I mean, yeah. It's gut-wrenching. So yeah, that was
such a great backstory.
Oh, it's awesome. And he's just so, it's, we talk about it every week, but it's so on another level acting with him, where there's not a false moment, ever.
I know.
Ever.
It also so reminded weird. Me of my grandfather. I have a very lovely story about my grandfather who married my grandmother when they were in their late 20s, early 30s. They left Malta on their honeymoon. Their honeymoon was taking the Queen Mary on the last trip the Queen Mary took from Malta to where it docked. And they actually took it to New York. It was the last trip it took. They came over here. They moved to San Francisco. They had my mom and my two aunts, and then they moved to Southern California. They lived in San Francisco. Then they moved down to Southern California, raised their kids, had all these grandkids. And then my grandmother was 55 years old, and I was 2 when she died of leukemia. And her youngest daughter, my mom, was 25. And my grandfather lived to be 99 and a half. He just passed away a year ago. And he never remarried. He never dated. And I just always thought, like, wow, what a love story. Yeah. He just never, you know, it was just never going to be the same. And one day I got up the courage to ask him, Papa, Why didn't you ever date anyone after grandma died? Why didn't you ever want to get remarried? Was it just because she was the love of your life? And he said, get married again. No, I made that mistake once.
He's like, I don't have to do this again.
And I was like, oh.
Oh.
Okay.
He never dated, though? He never even dated?
Nope, never That's even dated. Just had his had a garage with a workshop and worked on his
Right. He totally was
so great.
Independent and had three daughters and was like, they're grown and married and I have grandkids and
that's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
No, why would I do that again?
Yeah, I made that mistake once. I was like, okay. Well, I actually liked the one where I didn't ask and in my mind it was like grandma was your only love.
Sue and right. I talk about that when you see like the polygamous things and she's like, the idea of having multiple wives, I'm like, are you kidding? Multiple wives?
So much work.
Who would want to do that?
Cracks me up so much.
Now, my grandmother, we all had that. My mom's mom, my grandfather died when he was like 51 and she spent the rest of her life alone. She traveled. She saw the world. She had a bunch of friends, but never remarried. I don't think dated much. It was just, it was different back then.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Sofini preaches on, I believe that when you find love, you hold on to it and cherish it because there is nothing finer and it may never come again. And that, my dears, is the most important thing that I could teach you. It's revealed that Prudence, Amy, and Alan are outside listening in on Feeny's lesson, and Prudence abruptly asks, who is that guy? Topanga answers, that's Mr. Feeny. Corey adds, he knows everything. Prudence insists, no, he doesn't. The audience wildly oohs at this bold statement. The prisoners were on one for this taping.
Yeah. I was just so lost. I just didn't know.
I know. None of the rest of this makes sense to me.
I didn't understand the tension. I didn't understand what... what is Feeny doing? Like,
I think you're right. Exactly what you said in the beginning. They wanted two old school stage actors to go at it on stage. And they didn't really think about what they were going to say or why. Yeah. It was just, let's watch
them just create
act.
A story where they're actually in opposition to each other. Or they have because right now, what is the problem? The problem is that she's got to go home back to Pittsburgh and but everybody's really in support of their love.
I guess no one's saying they shouldn't be together. That Feeny is actually saying, because he flat out says, the love you have, hold on to it and don't let anybody take it from you. And Prudence is like, honestly, you guys should be dating others. So that's where they're in opposition. It's just not necessarily set up as well. Feeny wonders, beg your pardon? She explains, I don't know that I appreciate what you're teaching these children. She compares Feeny to being just as irresponsible as Topanga's parents in this situation. Feeny stands his ground. If you choose to question my opinions, then you disregard 38 years in the public school system where I have borne the responsibility of those opinions for 30,000 students. None held in higher regard than Mr. Matthews and Miss Lawrence. Corey is shocked again. You like me? Feeny tells him to stay out of it. Prudence responds, the only thing I presume is that you are as verbose as you are snappy. Feeny, trying to have a less verbose comeback, settles on, well then, there we are.
Oh, it's a great, none of it makes any sense. It's totally unnecessary, but it's a great response.
I like the aside where, Corey says, you like me? And that little beat, but I don't know what's happening. I don't know
why does him raising 30,000 or helping to teach 30,000 kids have anything to do with Corey and Topanga being in love?
Well, I hate hearing Feeny be defensive, too. Like, I don't think he should ever have to be defensive. Like, Feeny,
he should understand his point.
Yeah, he's just confident. Like, he's all-knowing.
If Aunt Prudence lives in town so she can stay in school, why not give a backstory where they've known each other?
Right.
Prudence.
Wouldn't they have seen each other at Chubby's?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. The one restaurant in town. I mean, something. Oh, lovely, Prudence. You're back. Give them some kind of conflict.
They have a Shakespeare club together and they hate each other. They're on opposite sides of every play.
So funny. Right.
I've tamed and tamed and tamed and yet the shrew is still here.
Something
like that. I mean, there's so many things you could do.
Amy tells Topanga that her aunt has something to tell her. Prudence reveals, I've spoken to your parents, and while I don't condone the intensity or exclusivity of this relationship, I also cannot condone the actions of my sister and brother-in-law. The verdict has been reached. If Topanga would like to stay in Philadelphia, she is welcome to stay with her and Aunt Prudence while she finishes the remainder of high school. After Prudence finishes her spiel, Feeny asks, I'm verbose? Topanga gives her aunt a giant hug in relief, then embraces Corey, knowing they'll be able to stay together. The audience gives them a huge round of applause, and Amy and Alan gaze at the two with happiness as they hold each other lovingly. And That's it.
That's no,
where
tag.
It ends.
No tag. No tag. Nothing.
I mean, it's it's a.
Yeah.
You guys liked it, though. You liked this episode. You thought
I overall did not. I agreed with every point you made, especially the Prue stuff. And yet somehow I still kind of enjoyed it.
Yes. Okay. That's how I look at it, too. Again, I liked it. If we once again have to just say you have to be in on this now, you just have to accept this is what it's going to be. Then it was good actors. Honest, you know, on one small stage, it seemed like most of it took place in the living room. It was very. Like that, I enjoyed. I enjoyed seeing everybody act, the adults getting a chance to act, Betsy killing it, stuff like that was great. But no, again, exactly what Danielle said. I agree with every point you made because they're all accurate. But I guess I have to just be like, I don't care.
Well, it's kind of it's kind of like the montage that you gave us crap for falling in love with according to Topanga, right?
Yes.
I guess we are now a romance show, you know,
that's
and we
it.
Are
we're
we
a
are
love story,
a love story, and there you go.
Well, thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Romeo and Juliet was actually a tragedy. Merch.
podmeetsworldshow.com. Will, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.